might be able to hear through your computer.
What?
You might be able to hear just through your computer's
Yeah.
microphone. So
Let me turn on
I'm
the
having
game.
some reason I don't understand what's quite going on. I think.
There you go. Welcome to our regular town council meeting. It's Wednesday, July 15th at 6:30 p.m. We're at Lot 2 Castle Valley Drive and also on Zoom. We'll do a quick roll call and then we'll open for the comments.
Here we have Jasmine Duncan, Pamela Gibson, Tori Hill, Colleen Thompson, Dorothy Homer, Egmont Homer, Ron Drake, Martin Llewellyn, Greg Halliday, John. What's your last name?
John Staff Joel.
Staff Joel, sorry. And then on Zoom, we have Robert O'Brien and John Greer.
Do we have any open public comments here? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 2, approval of the minutes from our public hearing and the regular town council meeting from June 17th, 2024.
I move we approve those as presented.
Second. Further discussion? I'm going to do a roll call vote, Obie, for the minutes. Tori?
Aye.
Pamela?
Aye.
Obie?
He's going to abstain.
Got it. You're abstain and aye. We'll move right into our water agent, our anchor executive report, our water agent water advisory committee report. That July meeting was canceled. John, do you want to report anything right now or just wait until we get into your agenda items?
I'll wait. Anything I was going to, we didn't have a meeting, as you said, and that would usually produce some content for an executive report, but we didn't meet. So anything I have to say will be later in the agenda.
Can I help you?
Only that I'm trying to get into the element, the water use and preservation element, which goes into the general plan. We're still working on basically getting some protection for the aquifers in there, not actually what the protections would be, but that to say in the general, in this amendment for the general plan that we need to work on doing that, because if it's in the general plan that way, it makes it more solid. I've already got the Planning Commission to say when they work on the land use code update, which we are about to do in the next 3 or 4 months, that will be a priority, but I'd love to see it in the general plan.
Road department report. First, if you have questions, and then we'll probably have a little bit of a discussion about our options on continuing and mending the coal patching before chip seal. Did you have a question?
Yeah. I know, but is there a plan, a time, anything for putting that gate back together?
The gate not back together?
Gates in place.
It's sitting on a rock.
Yes.
With a big space in between it that the motorcycle didn't come down to. They have, and they will, as long as they can drive through a place this big. Bicycles have a way of going around. So.
One of my concerns there is I don't know if that'll actually stop them. And the earlier issue was that they were going across private property. I can put more rocks there, but
we took the gate out. Why can't we put it back?
The gate's back up. It's just not attached to post.
It's sitting on a rock. One side of it's sitting on a rock, big rock, and then there's a space this big that the motorcyclists come down. And we can't stop them from doing other illegal things. So we can put the gate back. Or put rocks there, big rocks, so that, it's young people.
Uh-huh. Well, I can put more rocks there, but then I need to surround the entire cul-de-sac with rocks to a point where you can't get the 12-inch moccasin.
We never had that problem until we took the gate down and we took dirt out. It was a big berm with big rocks on top of it. I just would like to know why we can't go back to the way it was. I mean, is there a big, if it's a timing issue, if it's, you know, you, I understand you got other things, but I want something to stop these guys from coming through there. They may come out of it. We can't stop that. We can put the gate back up and put the berm back up.
You can do that.
Thanks. Do we have another question?
This is about the chip seal.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did get estimates from Grand Rounds, and these are just estimates. They were referencing projects that they had done recently. It looks like it's approximately 200 something thousand for materials and whatnot to do the actual chip sealing. another 8 to 10 for staging equipment, things like that. Before we do that though, we probably do want to repair the edges. Just the critical potholes as of right now is probably somewhere around 30,000 in labor, materials, et cetera, at least using our older methods. We're planning on testing some newer methods and essentially measuring the amount of material and things like that.
Is that the $9 per foot?
The $9 per square foot is their price for doing what we're doing. And we're pretty close to the same price. I haven't calculated out exactly. But that's with our current tools, current methods, which is not efficient. Right? I mean, we have
been doing it. But even improved our methods, we're still looking at like 2 years worth of our whole.
Quite much. essentially, the repair on the sides, I wouldn't be surprised, or the range that I'm kind of guesstimating right now, somewhere between 30 and 100,000 to do like every repair on sites is at the end. We can potentially improve that. I want to look a little bit more into it, look into potentially equipment that might help us, things like that. But yeah, just for reference, the side repair is going to be pretty expensive, and we're going to be optimizing it and looking for options on that, and we'll probably present them. Thanks.
Any other questions?
If I remember right, this is about the same price we paid last time, wasn't it?
For the chip going here.
It was 180 something. So
it's not enough. I more than that. And I was kind of really leaning heavily towards contracting the edge work. You know, depending on what more research comes up.
The thing about the edge work is you're paying a minimum of 50 to 60,000. And if you want to do the entire size of the road, you're looking at almost 700. It is way cheaper.
You just said that it was the same.
Right now, with no improvements, still digging the stuff out by hand. If we start using the backhoe to pull more material out and optimize that where it's quicker to do that. So okay. Essentially, each pothole right now is 4+ hours. Every individual thing that you see inside of the room is 4 hours. In an optimal situation, that could potentially be taken down to maybe 2 hours just with the equipment we have. If everything goes smoothly with other equipment, it could potentially be 15 minutes. So there's a whole range there, but we need to figure out what's worth it for us and where to break it. So.
And how do we get the rest of our road maintenance and things done and everything at the same time?
Yep.
That's my thing. Doing all of our normal work with this included,
correct,
in time to get the chip sealing done, like when we want it done, which we're hoping, like, you know, later than probably fall of 2028. Potentially take us that time to get that happen back.
You were saying with the equipment that we have, are you talking about we need different equipment? Is that
We don't necessarily need it. I mean, we can do it without it. The equipment might make it go faster.
Well, what is it? Like a compactor and...
I mean, right now we use a little vibratory plate that you have to walk behind, and especially if we want to do larger patches, might be worth it to have something else. I've looked into some rental costs, so I'll present those with how much we think we can do if we have equipment like that. So potentially like rent for a week, see how it goes, go for it. But right now I just want a new baseline and actually knowing what our cost for doing it. Because in the past, we've just kind of thought that, well, that's whatever it costs. So, but now we have kind of a reference point in comparison. Isolating it down and hopefully optimizing it so that we can do as much as possible in the time.
And we'll probably start, like you said, with some of our existing potholes, do some trial on them, because we already have
cold. Right.
Okay. There's a letter in the forecast.
Getting prepared for that as well. Any other questions?
Yep. Do we have any cold patch left?
Yes.
So there is still some out.
Yeah, yes. So that's the thing. We already have materials. To go ahead and test some of these.
Right now, we have essentially exactly one delivery worth.
Okay.
So I kind of have a reference of like, this is this amount of material, this costs this much, how far does this go? So we're going to be measuring the potholes that we do in the near future and essentially trying to get a price per square foot for us.
So, okay.
I have a comment. My concern, having driven the Citadel Road many times, we're going to need to fix it in Chipsfield right away, or else coal patch just might pop out and leave with traffic. But this is still road, because it's always getting.
Well, there's the coal patches, but then I noticed, because I drive it fairly frequently, it's not necessarily the coal patch, they just get it popping out, they're just hitting you.
And that's one of the things, so one of the things that we do is when we fix a pothole, we take out an extra 2 feet most of the time just because if you kick it, it comes out. So anything that's loose, we remove. We usually try and make it 3 to 4 inches thick, which the original road surface is like 1 inch to 1.5 inches. So you're taking out some of the base layer, you're kind of trying to make a really nice surface that you have something to put it onto the structure. That can take a long time with a pickaxe, essentially, is what we use for that. So the other thing is with Cisco Road, I'm fairly certain that they are not using tack oil, which is what you preferably use between the old existing asphalt and new stuff. Kind of, this is water emulsion, actually. It is bitumen, so it is asphalt. But that kind of seals it together and prevents water from getting. I think, I mean, as far as I can tell, what they've done is they've just got a cold patch and just smeared it on the road and wherever it sank in and stayed where it sank in and stayed. But I have to.
I don't know. I've seen them out there doing it by hand. I mean, they're putting it in every with a shovel. So I think, but I don't know that they were using tack oil.
Well, yeah,
even not, they
okay.
Usable. I mean, not necessarily smearing it, but just doing it quick and just like putting material in the little bottle.
So, okay, so we'll expect to know a little more in the next month after you fill a few holes. Okay, any other questions about that? Any questions? For the Planning and Land Use Commission minutes. Okay. Pamela, anything new from the Utah Renewable Communities Center?
The website has been updated and it's very informative.
beyond that.
Ron, do you have anything for the fire district?
Successful July party. We are in the process of programming our new radio. We have someone who needs a radio, so we got some raccoons at the bot. So we're in the process of getting those all programmed for our hard use. And then our plan is that the ones we have are over the old radios, we'll give the town for the emergency.
For the RDAG.
Yeah, the RDAG. Anyway, I think that's it.
Colleen, information technology.
I was just looking into whether, well, it should be possible to put the library Wi-Fi on one of these solar power stations so that when the power goes out, people can still drive up and use the internet and make phone calls. So I'm looking into that. It's a real mare's nest in a closet. So, but the Kate at the emergency, I forget her title exactly, County Emergency Operations, was very supportive of the idea. So she's been actually talking like to the library person because it involves the county and the library and the emergency people and trying to figure out what would need to get plugged in. I think it works out looking into that.
In the email?
What?
It's a widespread outage.
It's just a widespread outage.
It's a widespread outage. It's not just us.
Oh, okay.
Other questions? President's report, three. Any questions? They know why.
No, not with President's guest. I have no idea. And it could just be that they're late giving us our final payment. Sometimes it crosses the threshold, but at this time we were not set well.
So
we have a little bit more in the additional road tax. So we're really about 9,000 a year.
That'll be just less than we transfer.
I'm sorry.
That just will be less than we transfer if that doesn't actually happen.
Yeah. Well, we're not really transferring anything. We've done all our transfers.
Oh, so this is just for this new fiscal year already?
No. This is for last year. Okay. And so our transfers, we're spending all of our money on the culvert.
Oh, okay.
So there's nothing to transfer. Okay. But looks like we're going to come in just under the bid and our grant, knock on wood, looks like it'll come in a little over what we expected. So we're sitting pretty good as far as what we anticipated with the culvert project.
So we'll be replacing everything that we took out of it all.
Oh, yeah.
Containers, though.
Oh, yeah. Except for the $60,000 that was allocated.
That was out for general.
63.
Okay. Do we have any correspondence? Any administrative matters? Any town letters? Any questions? Okay, well, we're going to items. On our new business, item 6, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the fraud risk assessment.
I move we approve the fraud risk assessment as it's been presented.
Second. Any further discussion? Taking a roll of vote. Pamela?
Aye.
Toby?
Aye.
Corey?
Aye.
And I, and Corey, you and I will just write for Joel, so the people get it.
Yeah. We can do that after the meeting.
Item 7, discussion and possible action regarding water use agreement and permit revision. So this is actually, I'm not sure why this got separated because it ties into item 8 as well with the water use ordinance revision. Basically, any changes to the water use agreement permit revision will be because of changes to the ordinance. Correct, John. Hi, John. You're muted. Sorry. You're still muted.
Well, okay, now I'm unmuted.
Yeah.
And is it my turn?
Yes.
What I was saying, what I started by saying was I have a hard time hearing people in the room there. And so I can sort of basically follow the agenda, but I get lost at times. But if I'm on now, then I guess that's all I need to know.
What I was saying, John, was that item 7 is essentially we're talking about revisions to the water use agreement and permit revision because of item 8, where we're talking about revisions to the ordinance. Correct?
I didn't hear all that. I have my volume turned up all the way, too.
The microphone is not.
And my hearing aids are in.
Okay. So, anyway, well, item 7, John.
John, can you hear me better?
I can hear you much better.
So basically, I think the question was basically, oh boy, I'm going to get but the water use ordinance is what is making changes in the water use permit plan. Is that basically correct?
Well, they're parallel changes. I mean, the water use ordinance makes reference to the water use permit agreement, but it doesn't, again, it specifies some of the items, the terms that are in there, but again, they should be considered together because the revisions I'm hoping for are pretty much the same in both documents that reflect each other.
So, Albie, are you able to hear me?
I am able to hear you. I'm able to hear John better than I'm able to hear you, but I can understand what you're saying. Yes.
Okay. So basically, I think where we're at with this is that you're looking for our approval to go ahead and send this for attorney review, correct?
Yes. That would be the simple way to put it. I just thought I should run it by you first, you the counsel, and if you had any questions, I could answer them. I tried to explain it in that email I sent, explain most of it, but if you have follow-up questions, now would be the time. But if you approve of the idea, then I'll take it to the attorney next.
Yeah, I certainly approve of the idea. I have just a couple of things, and then Tori has something as well, it looks like. In your email, you were talking about the setbacks not being necessary because of certain things, and you made some assumptions in what you said that our road easements are all 50 feet. And they're not. And we have one area where we only have a 25-foot easement, in fact. So
again, I'm not hearing you, but the point was that the side roads have a 50-foot width, correct?
Not all of them.
But they do as surveyed, as platted.
Not all of them.
Some were platted at a lesser width.
Platted at all, and we were able to obtain only a 25-foot easement, and that's the entire upper 80. So we can't blanket statement what we're doing here because we have weird things going on, and some of our roads are not even in the platted easement.
Well, I wish I could hear you better.
John, she's yes? Basically saying a number of the roads up in the upper 80 don't have the 50-foot width.
So all right,
yeah.
So is the thought that we should basically delete that proposed revision, or could it say something to the effect that I understand now what the concern is, that if the road's only 25 feet wide, you have less than 100 feet separation between lots on opposite sides of the road.
To say that there has to be 100-foot separation. What? I mean, if...
I think the suggestion is that we could say that they have to have 100-foot separation. Is that
that sounds like a good solution. That they're, you know, simply we say it has to be 50 feet from an adjacent property line, because that automatically means it will be 100 feet and from any property line. If it's 50 feet on one side and 50 feet on the other, with roads where apparently the width can vary, we can simply say it has to be at least 100 feet. Fair enough?
It's way more fair to the property owner as well, because then you're not making them put something so far away from the road where the well on the other property already exists, you know, 75 feet away from the road or something. Then my only other thing right offhand was Sarah sent out a little write-up about the metering. And the estimate for installation and the device was like $300. But we only want to change the cost of the water use to $295.
As I said in my email, that's just a number that's out there to fill up the space. We have to determine exactly what it should be. And that will be pending further research on the cost of implementing metering. It needs to go up. It's been the same. It's been that amount for decades, and again, if we have to do the research to determine, because a lot of it will involve volume purchase, or again, these are things Sarah is working on, but that we feel like that the fee, the revised fee, we'll call it, should include the cost of installing a meter. At the time the well's put into use.
Yes, absolutely.
Sorry. So, yeah, I was just curious about the meters, and when we want to decide what type of meters and the cost before we go ahead and revise the document.
Well, yeah, we'll need some better numbers before we finalize. I think what we want to do tonight is just get him the go-ahead to send us to our water attorney.
Yeah, that's the essence of it. And I'd say by the time that happens, and you know, it'll be a few months, and by which time we should have a much better idea of what the cost of metering will be.
Question as well.
I feel like I'm eating my computer trying to hear you.
I would like to say that the cost for the metering is, I mean, we can't even talk ballpark right now. So we should keep that as open as possible at this point and wait for the results of the research.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, at some point we have to settle on a cost, or, you know, Egmont, I didn't realize you were there, but I have asked Sarah to get a hold of you about, because we, you know, the next something else we have to do is submit a proposed plan to the Division of Water Rights and get it approved. And that would be more about the technology involved than the cost. I don't think they care much about that. But that would be, in the process of doing that, we certainly would be able to refine our idea of what the cost would be. I think the important thing is this is going to happen. There is I think Sarah said something to this effect. There's actually a statute on the books that's been there since 2008 that says diversions of water must be metered. And when we asked Cash about it, he said, yeah, it's been there we just haven't enforced it yet. We're starting to phase this stuff in. We're starting with irrigation users. There is now a push to get all diversions of water for irrigation metered or measured in some form or fashion. but clearly Division of Water Rights is gearing up to make the measurement of all diversions of water mandatory. So I think we definitely should get a plan to the Division of Water Rights and get it approved and make our own plans to implement it.
Well, I feel like personally, you have some additional.
No, I was only going to say, I guess the question is this ready to go to a lawyer to look and see how the language looks? And of course, they don't have to fill in the price. The one thing I wasn't quite sure of in terms of questions that have been asked is that what we would be doing for the upper 80 or places where they don't have the standard easements. I don't know what that language would actually look like, and what, if that would be fair to both property owners.
From the attorney to settle that. Maybe the attorney can suggest a way to do that.
So we should kind of present that problem to the attorney.
Yes, and I suspect the solution will be some kind of statement about the fact that there has to be 100 feet of separation. And if there's the road width is 25 feet, then that means 35 feet from the road easement line in that area. If it's 50 feet, then it's 25 feet. But as long as 100 feet of separation is maintained. But again, we'll leave it to the attorney to suggest language that will. I'm glad you brought that to my attention. I had no idea. I thought all the Castle Valley Drive was 66 feet and all the side roads were 50. So it's good to know that.
Isn't it about how far away from it is, from how far away the wells are from septic systems, not an adjacent well? I mean, it's both. So I don't see anything in here about septic systems. So,
well, again, I think there's a state law about well separation, but if a well is 100 feet from a property line, I don't know what the current code is in Castle Valley, but I believe septic leach fields are also supposed to be at least 50 feet from a property line. Is that not correct?
We were actually told by the state that we have no jurisdiction over where septic tanks go or septic leach fields. But they try their best to kind of do what we want. But they already have a law about how close and septic can be to a well. So they're already doing that.
So, in other words, I don't know how to address septic tanks except to have the requirement for wells to be 50 feet.
The state takes care of that already.
What's that, Jasmine?
The state already takes care of that. Like, I mean, if you tried to get a start card for a spot that was right next to a septic tank, I don't think it would fly.
I wish I could hear you.
I think she thinks that the state already takes care of, if I've got it right, that distance between the septic tanks and a well. Is that correct?
Well, like if someone applied for a septic tank, they're not going to allow you to put it that close to a well.
So basically, if someone applied for a septic tank, they aren't going to let you put it that close to a well.
But if a well is not on the adjacent property, can they put their leach field right next to the property line? It's one thing if a well exists and they can, there's a record of it, and they can say you have to be 100 feet from that well. But if a well does not exist on an adjacent lot, can somebody put a septic tank or leach field within 50 feet of the property line?
We ask that they don't, but the state might allow it if it's a situation where they think that's the best place for it, in which case, then the well next door couldn't go right where they wanted it.
She said basically that we would ask them not to do that, but it's really up to the state. and the state basically controls that distance.
All right, then all we can really worry about ourselves is separation of wells. And we're back to 50 feet from an adjacent property line and 100 feet from wells on lots on the other side of the road.
I think that's right, but I shouldn't be speaking for other people.
I appreciate you being the translator.
Let's let the attorneys give us good language for that and help us figure that out.
So let's put that one in front of the attorneys also and let them figure it out.
Yeah, the hard part is you're trying to there's two different jurisdictions.
Yep.
I mean, the only thing we can really affect is Castle, what is under Castle Valley's jurisdiction. But I'll ask.
Yeah, I think actually asking to see if they have any ideas is a good idea, and they may not.
Any more questions?
No. No, none from the room. So this
question.
Greg.
The issue that I have is that if they want to meter the water coming out of the ground, then what considerations are they making for the water that's going back in the ground? Okay, because all of these leach fields are putting water back into the ground. So if we're being metered to pull the water out, then it seems to me that everybody has their own septic system. We're putting water back in the ground as well. So that needs to be considered, because This type of situation in another city in the state where they have a culinary sewer system doesn't do that. But we do. That's the difference that I see.
Culinary sewer system.
Arby, did you hear that?
Yes. Did you hear it, John?
I did hear it, and all I can say is that in terms of the statute and the state's concern, they want you to measure what you take out. For instance, I mean, right now, like I said, right now they're focusing on irrigation diversions. Irrigation puts, they take water out, and by spreading it across the land, a certain amount of it finds its way back into the stream or the aquifer. But again, the concern at this point is measuring what you take out. And that's what we have to do.
And of course, I guess we aren't really charged extra for what we take out. So it's, you know, some places you're actually charged extra for what you take out. If you were a household living under GWISA, you might be charged by the amount of water you take out, no matter how much you put back in, but we aren't at this point.
Right.
Just to account for what?
No, this is certainly about complying with requirements for documenting water withdrawals, not for supporting any kind of rate structure or you know, rate payment situation.
I'm not sure how we should motion that, because we're out of the seven still, and we kind of want item 8. Is kind of what needs to go to the attorney.
So how about I move that we send the water user agreement and ordinance 2027 to legal review.
Second.
Further discussion? Aldi?
Aye.
Pamela?
Aye.
Tori?
Aye.
And aye. Thank you, John.
Thank
okay,
you.
Is that it then? I mean, like I said, the water use ordinance, they're rolled together. So that, I guess that was for both documents?
Yeah.
Okay. I will proceed and report on a regular basis.
Great. Proceeding means take it to the attorney, basically, right?
Yes, and that's again, there are steps here, and that's the next step.
Right.
Right.
Question regarding the Planning and Land Use Commission alternate for I think.
Yeah.
Alternate proposal. Okay, so currently our ordinance establishing a planning commission allows us, if we choose to select 5 commissioners and 2 alternates. We've never really used the alternate. So that's why Ryan is suggesting that we use alternates and that we can, and he came up with this proposal way to do it. So I think I've mentioned before, and if we're going to visit the ordinance that addresses the Planning Commission, that interviewing members for the Planning Commission shouldn't fall under one person. I think that, probably it's not a lot of thought went into that. And it's always a bad idea. It lacks transparency. It sets the mayor up for problems. To be individually interviewing people. I've had times in the past 8 years where I've had several people applying at once for kind of obvious reasons. and it just puts me in a really bad position. I think I've been on boards where the county attorney required to interview board members in public meetings, deliberate in public meetings with the whole board. So I think it makes sense to me that the council as a whole is interviewing people, just like we did for the water advisors.
Well, that's in his proposal that be the main.
Right, but I think not just for alternates. I think that should go for all members of the board or the Planning Commission. Especially the Planning Commission is kind of a big job. It's a kind of a big deal. I mean, you guys usually take my word for it if I send a recommendation to you for somebody. I mean, a lot of times because I only have one applicant. And then sometimes if I only have one applicant that I don't think should be a member, I'll say so. But, at least it's in the bad position. So the only thing I didn't really like about this proposal was under the term in transition. So in his proposal, one of the eligibility requirements he suggested was that the member should, that the alternate member will have to have already served on the planning commission for at least 2 years prior. And then under term in transition, he goes on to say that, these alternate club members may continue to serve subsequent terms if reappointed as alternates or they may transition into a regular fully seated club position as those vacancies are open. And I don't agree. You're talking about people who have already previously served on it. And I don't see a reason why they just should automatically be bought back into a planning commission seat when that should be advertised to the public. Because there may be other members of the community who are interested in serving, and then they're not getting those opportunities. So that was the only problem I was.
So you just cut that last part of that sentence. That they may continue to serve subsequent terms if reappointed as altered.
Yeah, that's fine. But the transitioning into full time, doesn't need to be.
Yeah. Just cut the rest of that sentence. And maybe if he wanted to say something about they may apply if a seat opens.
Well, there's nothing preventing him from that.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't even need to be said. Like, anyone can. It's open for anyone to apply. That's you know, that's a been here for a year, resident for a year. And that's just part of the requirement, not the part. So I'm not sure if we need to change the ordinance to address that administratively. Because it's kind of an administrative thing to me, like the interview process of the members. And, I mean, is that something that we can do administratively, or do we need to go back, revisit the ordinance, and spell it out in there that members will have to go through this different interview process?
Is it in the ordinance
that the mayor interviews and recommends?
And if it's going to change, then,
yeah.
So we probably need to change that. And so I guess the other question is, I mean, that ordinance established the planning commission, but it's not a land. Does that require a public hearing, or is that an administrative ordinance? Because it created a commission. I am not sure about
that. I would say the latter. It doesn't require a hearing. It's not.
It doesn't do anything to land.
Doesn't put anything to the land.
Are we in agreement on
that? That's
true. So we could do that at our next meeting. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say that that's an administrative function. I would also say that what I've seen in the past, living in other places, is where you have an opening or multiple openings, you put forth an application process, like how long you live in town, why you want to give this commission, you know, a few background questions,
Right. One
page, give it to everyone in the council, and then typically in an open meeting forum, each person you would interview as a group,
Right. Each
person in the open forum, but then when it comes to a point, typically, that would be in a closed session.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do it that
way. Not allowed. Yeah. I know it's super awkward to deliberate in front of all of your applicants, but
I mean, litigation, personnel, and property.
But except for interviewing for seats.
I'm saying the interview is public, and the actual vote is private.
Except
we.
Not for
Billion.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was only going to say, Dawson, that's what we do at the county or the county planning commission. And in addition, one time we held a secret ballot and the county attorney said, you got to tell us who voted for whom. And of course, it's what we do on all things that come in front of us, except if you had to have us. Probably one of these private meetings, I guess, but that we vote in public and we have to take that stance, and we do it if we're voting on an ordinance that's controversial. So I think it's nice open process.
Yeah. I understand why people like to do it the way you're saying. Being on either the interview or the interviewee is a little intimidating.
Everyone on the council is involved and voting includes everyone.
We can go into a closed meeting to do
the vote. Yeah.
We can't do the vote.
Exactly. You can deliberate when it's filling a position like that.
It's personal.
But you're not personnel.
You have not done that. When you interview somebody, you just come back and tell us.
I'm not a forum. I'm a single person. And that may be why they set it up that way, so that it didn't have forum issues with the whole, because we have to do everything we do as a forum in public, except for those minor, things, lists of reasons that are allowed to go into closed session.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, that's a fine line one. And from the training I've taken, that applies to personnel issues, but not when you're filling a position.
You still may have to break the tie.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have a lot of applicants and we're going to have a lot of time with this.
We can do
Yeah. And so then,
God.
This alternate thing too, like being only eligible if you have previously served on the planning commission, limits our options for alternates too.
That's also typically what I've seen. Is alternates is a step into the commission later than they apply for full time.
Right. Right. And that's what Dorje brought up at the planning commission meeting. Like that made more sense to him. Like maybe the alternate is someone that we're kind of they're in training and then maybe they want to work
position. Or maybe not like full someone I would show up to every single meeting or whatever to start off with.
Well, but then discount the fact that a lot of these things that are going to, I mean, they're popping in for one meeting. And if they aren't familiar with the planning commission and the ordinances and, you know, then
because
they're lying long in front of the camera.
That's what they
do need to have experience.
Okay, I've got hands everywhere.
Huh,
were you
first? I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead.
Anyway, the same holds true for a new member.
But they're then going to every meeting.
Not necessarily.
Yes, but they have to start at zero, just like every new member will have to, if it's a new member or if it's a problem.
Right.
There's homework to start. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Whether you're just coming on to it as a full member or as an alternate, there's at least some homework.
Because even if you were a previous planning commissioner, the rate of change to legislation that happens, you know, there's things that are different year, you know, each year to year.
Well, having been a planning commissioner, I like the idea of retired ones being able to substitute because they're familiar with a lot of it, but maybe that could just be part of your weighing the candidates. Like if somebody's been before or somebody who's never been on the commission before but comes to all the meetings.
Yeah.
So at least they're familiar with issues and stuff.
Yeah.
But somebody who's coming in just cold.
So we could use that as a weight measure.
Yeah.
They're choosing, but don't limit us.
And don't forget that whoever doesn't need to take the open public meetings training.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, there's other training that the planning commission really shouldn't take.
Right. That's why I need help using people that have been on the commission before, because they've done that training and was somewhat balanced.
Right. And I think Ryan was leaning heavily towards that because he would like Marie to be able to do that right now. Yeah, Ryan. Yeah. But I don't think is focusing on Marie because he's got experience. I think you have at least two alternates, and mm-hmm. one of them has experience and the other doesn't, but it seems like a good way to, I don't know, something about limited it to 2 years from planning commission, one person, and it's a legislation kind of thing. And what it just seems like it should be alternate
and advertise it like
advertise it, is it all? Yeah.
I'm forgetting the name of the person who does planning commission work for Moab. What's that person's name? Didn't yes. And for instance, if Cor Shetliff was the person who said, I'd like to be an alternate in Castle Valley after he'd retired from doing it for Moab, there'd be a person who'd have experience that you might say,
True.
That's a lot, that might be worth 2 years. So interesting.
Experience would totally fill that eligibility requirement.
Or John. You would have
experience. Have you done that as well?
We looked at
yeah.
I'm bored of adjusting.
Okay, so you would have to get grants. I'm not sure if we probably have other people that pick grants. That could be totally relevant.
Yeah.
So let's not let ourselves do. We want to, how do we want to do this? Do we need to get Lori to help us get some language to go to these meetings and kind of not? Yeah. Okay, so we can drop and we'll bring it back to the commission, please. And we do not need a closed meeting tonight. We can move on to item 11 if you came in.
And just a reminder, the public hearing August 12th.
The second Wednesday.
Second Wednesday. We have two meetings in August. Hey, Red's
not leaving.
Everybody has to be here for the 12th.
And we can skip the. We present you a housing and data plan at the
spring. We can't pay the bill.
We can't do anything else. It's just the hearing.
Anyway, yeah, just a reminder. I don't want to mess up.
Gotham?
Yes.
The liability bond, is that in the wrong year?
I have a question about that for you because it's the 6:30 and I put in 7:01. And it kind of came when I had the P&L for fiscal year 2027, it comes out of that P&L.
The check has to be in July also.
No, it's very strange.
So can we fix that? So, because that's for next fiscal year.
Yeah. If you run a P&L for next year, it's taken out of it.
Right, because the bill went in at 7:01, but you paid it on 6:30. And then, so on the P&L, it always takes the pay date, not the bill date. So we'll fix that. So that is actually next year's bill.
And so is the diamond propane one.
All right. So.
And so is, there was something else when I put in next year.
6:30.
And then the call came up 6:30 and I went back through and I all put the checks in 7:01. So I don't know. But yeah, I need help with that.
Okay.
Well, I have a curious question. What is shop summit? Does anybody want to pay the bill? Oh, I'm losing time to do.
Second.
Any further discussion? Elby?
Aye.
Cory?
Aye.
Pamela?
Aye.
And aye. Thanks, everybody. That's all we have today.
Thanks, all.
So, we see ya.
Bye-bye.
Welcome.